Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. It's good to see everybody this morning. You are in the right place. Normally when you go to church and you start hearing some things and the Lord is moving you, it's quite easy to say, oh, I think this one is good for somebody else. No, it's good for you this morning. So whenever you're in the house of God, know that you are there because the Lord, you are ready to hear what the Lord has to say to you. Not to the person that's not here, but to you. So prepare your hearts this morning to hear the word of the Lord and what the Lord has to say to you, the encouragement he's to bring into your life. This is a C3 Fremantle, is a place to belong and a place to be planted. We welcome everybody that's watching online. And if your desire is to fulfill the plans and purposes of God for your life, then it will not be through, as I love to say, hocus pocus and abracadabra. You will need to seek divine direction for your life. And that divine direction comes from the scriptures and from the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to encourage you that we are all called to minister. And as we minister from who we are. We get direction from the scriptures, and we will need the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to understand that God is the ultimate schemer. God is in control. He's the one, this morning Pastor Charlie read out from Daniel, as Daniel was praying, that you are the one that assigns kings. You choose who is going to be in place. So that tells me a God that is in control. And guess what he's doing? He's making things happen for his purposes. And so he needs us to partner with him as he works out the things that he wants to work out, bringing salvation into people's lives. And we have to understand is that God loves it when we bear much fruit. He's glorified. It really makes him super happy when in your life you are bearing much fruit. However, the key to all of this is obedience. To go and to follow. The key to all of this, wanting to fulfill the plans of God for your life, it will all be to the extent of which you are going to obey the call to go and the call to follow. As Kingdom Catalysts, we have to be content in obscurity, which means that there are certain things that we will do in our lives that other people will not get to see. There'll be certain functions that we will perform in our lives that may not be visible. You see, what I'm doing here is visible because everybody can see me. But there are things that other people do in this church that are not visible, but are equally important to the plans and purposes of God. The question is, are you going to be obedient and content in the things that God has called for your life? What I want to say to you is that you have to follow through with the things that God is asking you to do, because you do not know what impact you are making in real time. You get an instruction from the Lord and you think, oh, that's a bit odd. Why am I doing that? But my encouragement this morning is that just be obedient to the voice and leadings of the Holy Spirit. Be very obedient to the leadings and the voice of the Holy Spirit. That as he whispers something, hey, pick up that phone, call that individual. You're like, why am I calling that person? And sometimes the way it works is that the Holy Spirit will impress. A person's name just pops up in your, screen of life, and you think, oh, that's a bit odd. Why am I thinking about that person? That's an indication to sort of like pray for them, whether it's to reach out, but just let's get used to hearing the word of the Holy Spirit and to actually follow through with it, that God is going to whisper. And sometimes, you see, the Lord can come in different ways, but you need to understand how he speaks to you and so that you can hear. And the best question to ask is that, Lord, teach me to hear your voice. Teach me to hear your voice. I don't know where we were, and you know the Alencia here, her husband Elvis, they heard there were lots of kids playing, and then there was the cry of a kid. And the kid, you know, obviously started crying, something had happened to him. And Elvis said, that must be Jabari. Now, there were lots of kids, but he was able to recognize, in all of that, he was able to recognize that, no, this is my son. And sure enough, he went, and it was his kid that was carrying on and crying. So this is how we listen into the voice of God. You tune in. It's like those old radios. I think I've said this before. I think I said it on Tuesday, that you tune in up until you get the frequency. So let us teach ourselves and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to tune in to what it is that you're saying to me, so that once the frequency, so remember that you only, once the frequency, you channel 96.5 FM, once you put that in your car and you switch it off, the next time you switch the car on, guess what's coming up? 96.5 FM. So let's dial into the frequency of what God is saying to us through his Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20, it says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We all have a kingdom assignment. This scripture here is giving us that saying, this is the divine direction that the Lord has set in the great, great commission for all of us. We've been given this mandate, go into all the world and make disciples. So that the word, the Greek verb translated go, is actually not a command, but a present participle meaning going. We are continuously moving. We are continuously going. And the only command in this great commission is make disciples. So you and I, when we get divine direction, we've been told that you have to make disciples. It is not a, it's you, we have to make disciples. So the question I ask is that, who are you reaching out to? Who are you reaching out to? So no matter where we are, we should all be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And our goal is to seek to win others to him. You know, one thing that struck me when you read Matthew 28 is this, where it says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Jesus says, go to Mount Fremantle. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to go to Mount Kwinana. You are not going to find him there. The operative word in that is they went to the mountain that Jesus said, go to. So all of us have got to go where the Lord, that's very good. Well done. Where the Lord, that's, I like that. Where the Lord, you see that thing, obedience to the Lord. Now, you don't, in Christianity, there isn't the There's no classes. You know, normally you go into an aeroplane, there's first class, then there's business, then there's premium economy, and then there's economy. In Christianity, we're all the same. That means there's no super spiritual Christians. Of course, people are gifted differently. The point I'm making is that wherever you go, you can take the power of God with you. Because God has just given us the instruction in there to say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Based on the authority and the power that Jesus has given me, I need to go. So that means if I go and somebody says, oh, I'm not feeling well, I'm right there for a reason. I'm going to pray, and the Lord is going to heal. If something is, you know, someone is possessed by evil spirits, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray, and the Lord is going to do it. We're going to deliver them, because that's the instructions we've been given. The key then for you and I is we need to follow Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I. Not we're going to make us. No. He will make us fishers of men. That means that we need to be tied to the hip with the Lord. Wherever we go, we are following Jesus' instruction to go where he has told us to go. So your individual kingdom assignment is a unique expression of the Great Commission. So whilst we are all called to be disciples, the way we fulfill this calling will vary based on our God-given gifts, passions, and circumstances. Others are called to preach, teach, lead, create, serve, or counsel, but we are all reflecting Christ and the advancement of his kingdom in our spheres of influence. So your personal mandate fits within the larger mission of God, shaping how you impact lives, whether in business, ministry, family, or in your community. The key is to seek God's guidance, embrace your gifts, and walk in obedience, knowing that your role, no matter how big or small, contributes to his greater purpose. So please don't see the things that you do when people cannot see as being immaterial. The goal is not for all of us. So when we said contentment in security as a kingdom catalyst, what we were saying is that if God has called you and the mandate for your life is to lead, for example, a connect group of 5 people, and that's all that you're ever going to do in your life, but that's the instruction that he has given you, but then there's another person, you then compare yourself to another person who leads a church of 50,000, you start to feel inferior, you start to feel less than, you start to feel intimidated. You shouldn't, because you've just followed the instruction that you were given. And it is all about, are we going to obey? Are we going to be content with where the Lord has asked us to do? That's really the key to our lives. Were we obedient to the things that God asked you or asked me to do? We get divine direction from the scriptures. And he called his disciples, this is in Mark chapter 6, and he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out 2 by 2. Verse 12 then says, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. We're getting direction. So whenever we encounter evil spirits, it's like, we'll leave this for Pastor Charlie to do. We'll leave this for Steve Coppin. You are casting out the evil spirits, because the authority has been given to you. And then he says, so the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. This is the result of people that were obedient to what Christ had said. They were following the authority that was given to them. What we are, you see, there are certain things that money can't buy. You can be a billionaire, but there are certain things that your money would not be able to help you with. And when people have an expectation that as believers of Jesus Christ, we have the solutions to life. If you remember the words of the father whose boy was possessed by an evil spirit, he says, one of the men in Mark chapter 9, he says, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could help him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk." And the father details what's going on in the kid's life and that he cannot help this kid. And so he went, he couldn't find the Lord, and he found his disciples. And he says, your master's not here. Surely you guys can do the exact same thing that your master can do. So he says, so I asked your disciples, cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. And then Jesus said to them, in fact, what Jesus then says is that Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" And he says, "Bring the boy to me." And then, of course, he cast the demon out. It's not meant for other people to do the things that the Lord has called us to do. It's for us to stand up and rise up in God's authority and begin to do the things that he has asked us to do. Because there is a kingdom assignment that we've been given. So we get the divine direction from the scriptures. We also get divine direction from the Holy Spirit. In Acts 8, verse 29, it says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Another one in Acts 11, the Holy Spirit told me, this is Peter now saying, the Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry that these people were Gentiles, because it was all part of God's plan, the things that God was trying to bring, the revelation he was bringing to the church. In John chapter 16, verse 13, this is Jesus saying, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to understand is that we've been given the authority to go out and to heal the sick and to cast out evil spirits, people that are oppressed by things. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, there's just an expectation that evil spirits will obey. Not in my name, but in the name of the Lord. So whatever we do, we are getting divine direction from Scripture and, of course, tuning in to the Holy Spirit. So when he commissioned his disciples, he gave them a measure of authority. And so the Greek words translated power means exousia, which is authority, dunamis is the ability, and kratos, which is strength. Each of them attributed to Christ, our Redeemer. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's, which is dunamis, power, for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power, which is, here it's iskus, it is derived from the root verb echo, meaning to hold on or to possess something, power, which is strength, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. This is why Christ can then say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And because of that, go. So when you go, understand that you are going with the authority of Christ himself. Understand, we all need to understand that we have to see ourselves as ministers. It's not for a special select few. Whether I'm in business, whether I work in a hospital, whether I work in a childcare, whether I stay at home, whether I run, whatever it is that you do, you need to see yourself as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that whenever a situation arises, you are not waiting for somebody else to do, because you already see yourself as a minister based on the authority that Christ has given to you. If you were to read Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. In 1 Corinthians verse 1 verse 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In Galatians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, because he had an encounter with the Lord. All of us need to be crying out to the Lord for an encounter. One thing we know is that whenever people encountered the Lord, they were never the same afterwards. Paul encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. This is why he can say in Galatians chapter 1 that, hey, mine was not because another man said, prophesied over me. It was Jesus himself who revealed himself to me and sent me. 1 Peter verse 1 verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Because the Lord called him, encountered him. That means we have to see ourselves as ministers, as people that have been deliberately sent by the Lord. And when we start to operate like that, our life changes. Because whenever I'm encountered with a problem, I'll be like, in the name of Jesus. This is why you find that on the road, when Peter and John were going to the temple, there was a beggar there. He was been begging for all the time. And they said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. And what else did he say after that? In the name of Paul, rise up and walk. No. In the name of Jesus, rise up and what? And walk. Because he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ do the exact same thing. So that's what when we're going, that's what we do. We do as the Lord does. Andrew Baker mentioned when he spoke to us a few weeks ago in his message about relationship with God and with others. He says that our relationship with others will be influenced by how we allow the characteristics of the Holy Spirit called the fruit to be evident in our lives. This can only happen in our lives if we abide with Jesus Christ. If you want to produce fruit in your life, you need to abide with the Lord Jesus Christ. So for us to thrive, we have to abide. For us to thrive, we have to abide. Yeah. John chapter 15 says, this is Jesus talking, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. And then he says, remain in me. Other translations say, abide in me. So you abide in me, and I will abide in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into the pile to be burnt. Which is, if you can imagine a grapevine, if the branch is not doing, boom, they cut it off so that it can do what? Produce more fruit. But he says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So I titled the message today, Abide, Transform, and then Evangelize. So when you abide with the Lord and he abides in you, it's going to transform you. And then when, as you are being transformed, then you can go about doing your what? A bit of your evangelism. But how do I remain? How do I abide? I abide in his love, and I abide in his word. Both of these two things point toward abiding as continual trust in the truth of Jesus' words and in the certainty of his love. So abiding means obedience to Christ's commands, following Jesus' example, of course, and living free from sin in our lives. We have to allow the word of God to change us so that the fruit of the Spirit may be evident in our lives. Galatians 5:22 verse 25 talks about these fruits. It says, but the fruit, not fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is an expectation of those that belong to Christ. This is what you expect to see flowing out of your life when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. The fruit of the Spirit. And remember, it's a single fruit, not fruits. So it's one fruit, it's the fruit, but with nine different characteristics of the Spirit. We should expect to see all of these showing up as we give God's Spirit control in our lives. So Paul began, as he spoke about these fruit, he began with love, because all of the other fruit is really an outgrowth of love. Everything starts with love. All the other things grow out of love. So the first three, love, joy, and peace, express the Godward aspect of our Christian life. When we live in the sphere of love, then we experience joy, which is that inward peace and sufficiency that is not affected by circumstances in our lives. Love and joy together produce peace. The second three, long-suffering, which is courageous endurance without quitting, gentleness, which is kindness, and goodness, which is love in action, express the manward aspect of our life. So, a Christian person who is long-suffering will not avenge themselves or wish difficulties on those that oppose them. They will be kind and gentle, even dealing with the most offensive people. They will sow goodness where others sow evil. We know that human nature can never do this on its own. Only the Holy Spirit can in our lives. Because my mantra is that when they go low and they attack, instead of going high, as the scriptures expect us to go, I go low. Revenge is the what? Is the way to go. Of course not. That's not the way to go. There's a part of me that wants revenge, but there's the part of, you know, that says, no, this is not the way that you should be responding. Only the Holy Spirit can produce these things in our lives. So Michelle Obama is the one who said, if they go low, we go high. Stephen McGuinty says, if they go low, we go lower. No, we don't. No, we go higher. We agree with Michelle Obama. The final three, faithfulness, which is dependability, meekness. Meekness is the right use of power and authority, essentially power under control, and temperance, self-control. reflect the selfward aspect of the Christian life. Meekness is not weakness. The meek Christian does not throw their weight around or assert themselves. Self-control is where we are self-controlled. It's quite simple, eh? Self-control, temperance. We don't just fly off the handle. We've got our emotions in check. We've got, you know, everything seems to be in check in our lives. I heard once when I was at in Wollongong a long time ago, we had a visiting speaker who came, and he talked about a guy who was at a at work, and the guy, as a Christian guy, lived, you know, quite an alternative. He was a Christian, but he would do a lot of non-Christian things. And he said that he wanted to go and speak to another of the guys in the warehouse. He used to drive a forklift. And wanted to go speak to one of the guys about the Lord. And he said he couldn't do it. He said, my life silenced my lips. Let's not allow the way we live to contradict or diminish the truth that we speak. Our actions should align with our words so that our lives amplify rather than silence the message of hope and faith and truth that we proclaim. To enable us to do that, for us to gain this fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we have to surrender control to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to touch those sensitive spots in our lives. Like I know, you know, maybe I can be a bit more gentle. I'm a man, you know, and so I tend to be strong and rough. But when you're dealing with girls in your house, and the Lord had to give me girls, I don't know why, but He gave me girls. Yes, to just soften, you know, knock off the edges off a bit. So I need to be more gentle. That characteristic needs to grow on the inside of me. Are there areas in your life that are not in the purview of the Holy Spirit? And so this morning I ask that you would release control to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to reach and heal the deeply sensitive areas of your life. The ones you have guarded or you have ignored. What I want to say is that any area untouched by God's light will hinder your growth. This is why we need to be connected to the vine. Because when we are connected to the vine, then we're going to abide, and the Lord is going to transform us from the inside out. He's going to deal with some of the yucky stuff that's on the inside of us so that we can bear much fruit, because it brings Him great joy to our Father. So when we abide in Jesus, we are transformed and we evangelize. Our ministry for all of us flows from the depths of who we are. Our lives, our words, and our actions should consistently reflect the love and the truth of the gospel. Whatever setting we're in, it don't matter where we are, at work, at home, engaging with strangers, true ministry happens in our lives when we authentically allow God's grace to shine through us in every situation. I'll get the team up because we're about to shut this down. True ministry happens when we live authentically, allowing God's grace to shine through us in every situation. This means that even when I'm going through a very difficult time, I'm going to expose that. I'm not going to sort of like hide whatever it is that I'm going through and say, hey, I'm going through some stuff, but the Lord is dealing with me. The Lord is with me along this journey. That's when we're living authentically. Not just when it's all the good things that, no, it's even through the struggles of our lives. We say, hey, I'm struggling, but the Lord is with me. I'm struggling through this, but the Lord is with me. Then we're living authentically. Wherever we are going, we're not just going to be high-fiving at work and dancing around when we're in pain. Hey, I'm in a lot of pain, but I believe that the Lord has healed me. then we are being genuine and living authentically. We minister from who we are. You see, back in the days, we used to go out, you know, Pastor Ray Ledger in Adelaide. We're going back now 20-something years, 25, 26 years ago. We used to go out to Glenelg and hand out on a Friday night when everybody goes out to the restaurants and the nightclubs. We used to be going out and talking to people on the street and handing out tracts and Jesus loves you, you know. And so we'd be like, yay, afterwards, you know, be like, yeah, we're really good Christians. This is what we're doing. Which is, it's still an important thing to do. But I think now we need to have one part of doing evangelizing. But another, it's about doing life with the people that are around us in our sphere of influence and exposing to them the truth of what is happening in our lives. So we're not two different people like Superman, Wonder Woman, or He-Man. Our ministry flows from who we truly are. It's not an act. It's not a role. We step temporarily into like Superman and then we go back to our normal lives. Wherever we are, this is what we do. We don't just put on an evangelism hat or a superhero cape when the occasion calls for it and then take it off when we return to our everyday lives. Ministry is an extension of our identity in Christ. It's not a performance or a separate persona that we adopt. I traveled somewhere and I was looking for a justice of the peace to, in fact, I went to the courthouse in that area, and as I went to the courthouse, I said, look, I just need you to stamp this as, you know, a true copy of the original to certified Commission of Oath style. And they said, oh, where is this document going? And I said, it's going to South Africa. And they said, no, we can only certify things that are going in WA. This is at the courthouse. You need a justice of the peace. Somebody appointed by the Supreme Court. She went on to explain a whole lot of stuff. She just said, look for a justice of the peace. So anyway, she gave me a form of the list in that community of the people that were justices of the peace. So I looked at it and I said, all right, I'll look at it tomorrow and I'll call one of them up. The next day, I thought, oh, let me get that justice of the peace. I looked at the letter and I saw a name of a man. And I said, oh, I remember that name. So I dialed him up. Hello, I'm looking for a justice of the peace for something. And he says, oh, I'm not in the office, but you can come after 1 o'clock. I said, no problem. And so as I'm talking to him on the phone, I said, oh, I'm Stephen. We used to go to Clear Vision Church. We used to go to Clear Vision Church together in South Australia. That was 22 years ago. He says, oh, Steve, yeah, come around 1:30. So anyway, I went. And as I went there, this man, they left. He used to play in the worship team. Fantastic singer. Like super, you know, a guitarist and a singer. I recall one time he was singing and he sang a song of somebody riding a horse. Must be the Lord, riding on a horse, a white man riding on a horse, on a white horse. And when I heard that song at that time, I can still remember it. There was something special. There was the touch of God on that song. And I remember I became emotional thinking, oh man, this Jesus is something. Because I know that God must have touched that song that day. Because the next time I heard the song, I thought, that's a kind of weird song. But the Lord just put his hand that day for me. So I go, he said, how are you going? Blah, 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 blah. He signs my form. And so whilst we're talking, I get this, you need to ask him to, can you pray for him? And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't want to do it. It's a bit awkward. It was in an office. And I just said, hey, is it okay if I pray for you? Because this guy he stopped following the Lord the way that we know it. And so I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for him to thank him for signing my form. And I thanked him and I did explain to him how that song touched me when he sang it many years ago. And I said to the guy, I said, look, prayed for him and that God would bless him and all that. And then as I left to go, he says, hey, the next time you come, make sure you come and see me. What I want to say is, you see, I knew then that God is a schemer. That there was something that I didn't go there and say, thus saith the Lord, you have not followed him for so many years now, and you're about to die. I didn't say all that. All I did was just, hey, I sensed the urge to pray for him. What the Lord did with it, that's the Lord's doing. But I knew that the Lord spotlighted his name and just brought it to my remembrance. I'm trying to say is that we minister from who we are. That in your own way, as the Lord, you listen to the Lord, just follow through. Understand that we don't impact, we don't know the impact of the things that we do. Just do it anyway. This morning, if we can stand to our feet, I want to, there's a few things we'd like to do as we finish. Number one, I want to lead us all in a prayer, and a prayer of invitation into following the Lord. And secondly, if you have, you're not sure about, so number one, that's number one, we'll do that. And secondly, I want to pray for those people that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you would come forward and our team is going to pray for you, that you would receive the baptisms of the Holy Spirit. And if you just want prayer so that you can get divine direction for your life, just come to the front and we'll pray for you as well. And what I would ask this morning, if you've never made a decision to follow the Lord, I just ask that you would pray this with me and say after me, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and make the choice to follow you all the days of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. And if that is you this morning, I want you to raise your hand so that we can see giving your life to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your people, that you have all called us, Lord God. We have a mandate and assignment for our lives, that we might walk in it in Jesus' mighty name. For those that want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a language and speaking in other tongues, I just want you to come to the front and we'll pray, and I'll pray for you. But also, if you want to just receive guidance and just prayer for if you don't know what the mandate or the assignment for your life is and you just want prayer around that, please come to the front and we'll pray whilst the team sings as we go. So I'm not going to, I've held you back for an extra 10 minutes. So if you need prayer, please come to the front and we'll pray with you. So let's sing as we go.